I'm glad we're all here. Good to see everyone. One of the major themes that runs through Paul's second epistle to the church at Corinth is a defense of his apostleship. Evidently, there were some who had come to Corinth after him and tried to enhance their position with the Corinthians by challenging Paul, attacking his teaching and his authority as an apostle. And so Paul recognized the threat that that posed to the Corinthians because they could be led away from what had been revealed to him to be the gospel of Christ. So he could not allow those things to go unchallenged. So throughout the 2 Corinthian letter, there are some references to this attack upon him. And one of the arguments that he puts forth in his defense of his apostolic authority was that he had demonstrated that he was a commendable servant of God. And so we want to look at this text, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Paul says, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. In much endurance, in affliction, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. The word of truth is the power in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil reports and good reports, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, yet behold we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things." Paul clearly points out to the Corinthians that his only objective is their salvation. But the emphasis that we want to look at in this particular passage of Scripture is his defense of his role in assisting them in finding that salvation. And particularly in the statement he makes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4, "But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God." We want to look at how the Apostle Paul establishes himself to be a commendable servant of God. Now, specifically, we're going to look at this from a particular viewpoint. I want to look at three little words that Paul repeatedly uses in this passage of Scripture. He uses them to organize and structure this argument that he makes, defending his apostolic service and saying, "I have been demonstrated to be a commendable service of God, servant of God." And so these three words are words we're all very familiar with: the word "as," the word "in," and the word "by." Because this is the way he structures his argument. So let's begin with the word as he uses it in chapter 6 and verse 4. Paul uses it to create the main comparison that is really the underlying point of everything that he says in this passage of Scripture. The word "as" is from a Greek word, hos, and it is translated one of two ways in the New Testament, either by the word "like" or "as." Now, in English, we would recognize that these words are used to introduce a figure of speech called a simile, where two things that are essentially unlike are compared for a point of emphasis. In the Greek, it's actually called an adverbial comparative conjunction, and I'm sure we're all fully aware of what that is. I'm not. But basically, what it's saying is it functions as a conjunction. It connects. And in this case, it connects a relative comparison. So the Greek construction is very similar to what we call a simile in English. And so in this case, as Paul develops his thinking in this passage, what he is connecting is the idea of what makes one a commendable servant to the various attributes that demonstrate that. And so he says, this is what I'm going to do. So as we continue to examine the text, we'll recognize, first of all, Paul's not talking about a universal sense. When he says the things that we're going to look at in just a minute, he's not talking about every aspect of his life, secular and religious. He's not talking about necessarily the aspect of his biological life. We know he was a man. He had a father and a mother. We know in his case that he wasn't married, because he makes mention of that in comparison to apostles who were. We know his background as a Pharisee. We know his occupation as a tent maker. The things that he is saying have no relation to those things. What he's talking about is those things that relate to the fact that he has been demonstrated to the Corinthians, to whom somebody has come and challenged and said, he's unworthy. You shouldn't listen to him. He's not really who he says he is. And so to them, he is relating the things that should prove to them beyond of a shadow of a doubt that he is a commendable servant of God to them. Now, Paul will use the word as later in the text, and I'll come back to it, but I thought it was very important to notice that first, it has really characterizes this entire conversation. So let's look then to his use of the word in, which is, by the way, the most frequent of the words that he uses in verses 4 through the first part of verse 7. Now, it is a preposition in the Greek. In Greek, it's spelled en, but it's pronounced exactly the same way we pronounce the preposition in our language. So this is pronounced in the same way we say in. And it's a preposition, just like in is a preposition in many cases in English. And a preposition is simply a word that expresses the relationship between a noun, pronoun, and noun phrase or other element in the sentence. And so we remember our very beginning grammar classes. If you have a preposition, you have to have an object of the preposition. And it is in either a noun or pronoun form. Well, what we find is that in these verses, Paul's going to use this word in two ways in the passages that we have read. First of all, he uses it in a general way in chapter 6 and verse 4, because he uses a very general noun as the object of the preposition. He says, in everything, his ministry is commended as a servant of God. The word everything there could also be translated, and some translations do say, in all things. And so prepositions have many uses. And so the Greek grammars, the syntaxes that people use to study that, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but they identify this as a preposition of reference. And the definition of that is a preposition which is used to express the reference or regard in which the author views another sentential element. So something the author considers essential, it expresses the relationship to that. And so what Paul begins with is, this is in everything. And so that means he's looking at this as an all-encompassing aspect of his relationship to them as a servant of God. But once he has done that, then Paul begins to list a multitude of specific ways in which his service to them has been demonstrated. And I'll give you some assurance here, not just because of the snow. This is planned. As we go through this list, if we were to do it in detail, we would be here for a very long time. I just basically want to see that we get the impression of what Paul is saying here. But specifically, he says, first, in much endurance. Here, this use of the preposition is identified by the grammars as a preposition of means, which is defined as the use of the preposition to express the means of an action, how an action is going to take place. And so what he's saying is endurance is something that is demonstrated over a period of time and through a various number of elements. And for instance, if one was a track person and was an endurance runner, we would realize that what that was talking about is that he was going to run races that take a while to get through, and it's going to take maybe some extra conditioning. It's going to take building your body to be able to do things that the normal body wouldn't do in a circumstance. And all of those things build up. And so this is what Paul is saying. It took endurance for me to be the servant of God before you that I am. And then he goes specifically and again uses this preposition in. And in this case, the lexicon and all these ones we're going to talk about right now, the grammars say that this is a preposition of matter, which demonstrates the way in which the endurance is demonstrated. And so this list of the things in which he says contribute to prove that he is indeed a servant of God and that he has proved it through his endurance. And this is one of the more famous lists of places where Paul talks about what he went through as an apostle. And so we're not going to talk about each of these individually, but you just let them build up. He says, it's taken endurance because I've had to be a servant in affliction. Not everything always went well for him in hardship. You know, he told the disciples that he knew how to do without, but he knew how to live with plenty, but there were times he had to do without in distresses, in beatings. We know the number of times that he was beaten, in imprisonments, the times that he was thrown into jail. Tumults just simply means something that is very disconcerting and threatening. And so disturbances, the number of times, for instance, that Paul in his speaking, a public disturbance was created that caused threat and danger. In labors, he's basically saying, I have demonstrated over a long period of time how hard I work to be a servant of God. And some of the things that go with that in sleeplessness, concern for the welfare of others, and hunger, if that would go along with the periods of want, where maybe he didn't have sufficient funds. But in purity, he's saying to them, I have shown over a period of time, my motives are pure, my life is pure, my knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit. Over a long period of time, I've demonstrated the Spirit working through and in my life, in genuine love, in the word of truth, and in the power, and that's the dunamis word, it's used of the gospel in Romans 1:16, in the power of God. And so there are 17 things on this list in which Paul says, I have demonstrated these attributes to you over a period of time so that you would know that I have proven by my endurance to be a true servant of God. So in his point, and I realize we could go into a lot more detail on all of this, but what he is basically saying is the whole way that I have conducted myself since the time that you first met me till now has demonstrated that in my relationship with you, the Corinthians, I could be commended as a true servant of God. What have I ever done with you and for you that has shown anything else other that I am in it for God's service? And so, a very important use of that word. Then, in verses 7 and 8, he uses the word "by" as a part of his defense. And that is through the Greek word dia, which is also a preposition, but dia is a preposition that differs in meaning based upon what the object is, and what case the object is in the Greek grammar. And so, in this case, what the lexicons say about it is it's a marker of the instrument by which something is accomplished. It can be translated by English phrases like "by means of," or "through this," or "with this," or "by this." Again, it's what was defined earlier as a preposition of means. It identifies the action by which he is going to accomplish, or he has accomplished, these things. And so, when we look at that long list of 17 things that shows how Paul demonstrated his service to God, the "by's" describe how he accomplished them. This is what he accomplished, this is what he demonstrated, and this is how he accomplished. And these are much more conceptual. The others are very real. We did it very briefly, but we could give examples that you would relate to passages of Scripture and say, "Oh, yeah, there's where he was afflicted. There's where he was beaten. There's where he was put into prison." But this is much more of a conceptual thing, this "by." And he starts out by saying that it is by the weapons of righteousness. And for the right hand and the left. And so if somebody wields a weapon in each hand, if you can think of a warrior that goes into battle with a weapon in each hand, he's really saying, this is the way I do battle. And he calls it the weapons of righteousness. And Paul actually elaborated on that later in the epistle when he tells them in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So he's not talking about a literal weapon, like a sword or an axe or something like that. But he's saying we don't use those kind of weapons because we are fighting spiritual battles. And so the idea is for the right hand and the left that the weapons are wholly sufficient for the work of the servant of God. They are totally utilized. And he can use them in either hand. Kind of what he told Timothy, really, in 2 Timothy 3, a very familiar passage, where he says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." The spiritual weapons that God gives a servant of God are thoroughly furnishing. That's all you need. Put them in your hands, and that's what you need. And Paul says, that's how I accomplish what I have accomplished. I don't use carnal means. Now, the obvious implied comparison of that is that the enemies that are attacking him are using carnal methods to attack him. They're slandering. They're telling untruths. They're challenging his motives and various things like that. And he says, that's not the way I fight. My battle is a spiritual battle, and I use the equipment that God gives me. Then he says, by glory and dishonor. And that, at first when you said it, I said, well, what does he mean by that? And I think the probability is that the reference is to the way in which his actions are perceived and are attributed even by his enemies. That they're citing things he has done and says that's dishonorable. Whereas he says, what I do is for God's glory. So it doesn't matter which way you want to describe or attribute what I am doing. What I am doing is using the weapons of spiritual warfare that God has given me. We know that Paul was criticized by his opponents and that he responded to those criticisms in his previous letter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, we are fools for Christ's sake. You are prudent in Christ. We are weak. But you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. So that gives us a picture of what his enemies were saying about him. He said, you call me a fool. You say that you're wise and I'm not. You say that you're strong and I'm weak. You say that you're distinguished and I am without honor. And so here he says, I do what God has given me to do with the things God has prepared me to use, and I don't care whether you think that's honorable or dishonorable. I'm going to do it. And then he says, by evil report and good report. Well, quite obviously, from the passage we've just read, there were those who were speaking evil of him and accusing him of things to try to lessen his influence. And so he says, I don't care whether you say good things about me or bad things about me. I'm going to do what God has equipped me to do and charged me to do as a servant of God. So I think it's just another way to really emphasize the glory and dishonor. He says, these critics of mine may say that I'm dishonorable, that I'm foolish, all these kinds of things. But this is the same Paul who is a beloved brother and mentor to many faithful Christians. And he says, so it doesn't really matter what other people are saying about me. I'm still going to use what God has put in my charge to be his servant. Now he returns then to his use of the conjunction as in the very last part of the chapter, or this passage, in chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. And so we've already noticed that this is a type of a conjunction, very similar to the way we use a simile in English. So Paul concludes his testimony here on two things. He's going to make this comparison by way of this conjunction. And so what he's comparing is how some may see Paul or his ministry or even his message to what is the reality as a servant of God as to what his person, his ministry, and his message actually is. And so he makes this series of comparisons. Some may call me a deceiver. Some may say, well, he's just an unknown. He wouldn't be anything if he didn't try to impress you. He's dying. He's losing his influence. He's already been demonstrated. Look at all how many times he's been punished. His life is a life of sorrow. He's poor. He has nothing. Paul said, that's what some people may say about me, but here's the truth. I am not a deceiver. I speak a message of truth. I'm not unknown. I am actually well known. The faithful brethren, including the other apostles, know who I am and recognize me to be who I am. And while some have tried to kill me, I am very much alive. And yes, I've been punished, and he enumerates them later in the epistle, the number of times he's been beaten, stoned, and so forth. But he says, they haven't managed to kill me yet. I'm still here. I'm still serving. And they may say my life is sorrowful, but I've never let that extinguish my joy. And the reference point of that is to read his epistle to the Philippians, of which the joy of being a Christian, even while he is imprisoned for the cause of Christ, is a major theme of what he says to those brethren. And he says, they may call me poor, just an itinerant tent maker that has to depend upon other Christians to provide his means of living. He says, but I really am rich. And they don't think I have anything, but I have everything. That's who I am. And so, the question is, so what? I could spend a good bit of time here talking about one conjunction and two little Greek prepositions in this passage of Paul that we've probably read over many times in our life. But what should we take away from this? Just a couple points and then we'll close. One, what this passage is a very lengthy and detailed description of how Paul approached his life as a servant of God. He approached it with Corinth, which is the major subject, the Corinthians. But it really is how he approached it through his entire ministry. It shows in detail for us what powered Paul's life as a servant of God. He expressed it to the Philippians with these words in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul knew who he was, he knew why he did it, and he knew what it was worth. Secondly, admitting that none of us are the Apostle Paul. I just amaze myself when I read of him and realize how much is lacking in my own service and in my own life. And I'm sure that that is true of all of us. But if we are going to strive to be God's servants in this wicked world, we won't face everything that Paul faced, but we will undoubtedly face some of the things that he faced. And he certainly has provided for us an example of how to react when people don't treat us right, when life doesn't go exactly the way we want it to. And you know, the world is too full of people who give up their purpose in life just because things get a little difficult. He provides us an example of one who would not allow those things to keep him from his higher purpose. And thirdly, we need to see that we need to have the courage to endure whatever we face in this life. The answer to success is by endurance. We are not in a sprint. We're in a marathon, and the prize is before us. And we have to have this kind of perspective on life. So this is a lesson that I think is a lesson of great encouragement, that we are encouraged to keep fighting the spiritual battle that is before us and keep striving, even as Paul did, to be a faithful servant of God. Brother Chris is going to lead us in the invitation song, realizing we're all Christians here that are of age. But let's sing this song and then we'll complete our service after that.